All right. I love that story about the triumphal entry. You know, it's in all four Gospels. And obviously, our particular version that we're using today is from Mark chapter 11. You know, our culture, and I think it's true of most cultures, you know, we're fascinated with kings and queens, the royal family. Like, you know, we fought a war to get away from the royal family, and yet we still are fascinated by the royal family. It, you know, it continues to be big news, which honestly, like, I do not get. Like, people want to watch the Oprah interview with Meghan and Harry. You know, it's like, come on, I got better things to do. But anyway. But
did anybody not watch The Crown? I mean,
I dig The Crown. Yeah. And I'm all about The Crown.
I didn't watch The Crown, but I need to.
Okay.
So yeah, there's this, you know, the royal family is big news. Whenever anything goes on, you know, it's we all want to know. Movies like Lord of the Rings, Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe, you know, they really just captured the hearts and minds of millions of people, especially young people. Yeah, you know, I know my girls, few things have ever captivated them like Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. They used to play out scenes from that movie for hours.
Wow.
You know, all the Disney movies are about kings and queens, and stories about royalty are really everywhere in our culture. We really love and romanticize all of that. And that's really how Holy Week begins. Palm Sunday is the welcome of a king. And so let's think about this under two headings. Jesus is king and Jesus is gentle. Jesus is king and Jesus is gentle. So Jesus is king. You know, again, we love stories about royalty, but let's not forget the implications here, because it's easy to romanticize that whole idea, but let's think about this for a second. You know, another word for king is sovereign, one that exercises supreme permanent authority. So in our country, you know, we have elected officials, and elected officials have constituents, residents of a district or members of a group that are represented by that elected official. And in theory, at least, the elected officials work for their constituents. Mm-hmm. Not so with kings. Kings don't have constituents. Kings have subjects, those under the rule of another. The king doesn't represent you. You represent him. His will is supreme, not yours.
Yeah, we often, if we romanticize like stories of royalty, it's because we put ourselves in the story as the royal ones.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's two sides of that coin.
Yeah, not the peasants. But so yeah, when we think about it, it's a hard reality that Jesus is king. Now, our king is humble, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But let's not forget that he is king. The people cry out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. You know, those are calls for a king to come and save his people. So Jesus, you know, he rides into Jerusalem essentially saying, I am that king. So Jesus doesn't want to just be our friend, although he does want that. He doesn't just want to be our comforter and, you know, who helps us in our times of need, although he does want to do that too. He also wants to be our king, the one to whom we submit, you know, our hearts and our lives. So this is why Palm Sunday is really provocative on the part of Jesus. None of this was an accident. It was all staged. Jesus knew quite well that Solomon, you know, King David's, one of King David's sons, rode into Jerusalem as the new king on his father's donkey. He knew the prophecy from Zechariah chapter 9 that someday a new king would come to Jerusalem in the very same way. It says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the triumphal entry is a clear signal from Jesus that he is the messianic king that Israel has been longing for. It's a definitive statement about who Jesus is. He is the world's true king. And we want Jesus to come to us. You know, when we think about Jesus, we want him to come to us as our friend because we need help. We need comfort, peace, counsel, inspiration, healing, guidance, wisdom, whatever. And Jesus is essentially saying, look, I can be all of that and more. I can be your friend, your brother, your comforter, your shepherd, your guide. But I'm really not going to be anything to you if I'm not your king. That's right. So we need to recognize the confrontational nature of Palm Sunday. Jesus rode into Jerusalem intending to provoke a response. If you were to ask yourself this question, how do you get yourself killed in first century Palestine? Well, you ride into Jerusalem as king to chants of Hosanna during Passover when the Roman authorities are on high alert. Because what are the Jewish people celebrating? They're celebrating their deliverance from pagan oppressors. So if that's, you know, if you really want to get yourself killed in first century Palestine, that's what you would do. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And he knew exactly what he was doing. He was either going to be received as king or killed. And so on Palm Sunday, Jesus intends to force a response. You know, in that scene in the Gospels, you know, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And of course, Peter, you know, gets it right. "You're the Christ, the Son of God." Well, like the disciples, Jesus intends for all of us to have an answer to that question. And so Holy Week really puts us on the spot. Who is this Jesus who rode into Jerusalem claiming to be the true king of the world?
Yeah. I keep thinking about this article I read recently about how inconspicuous things become conspicuous only when they stop working the way we want them to, or when they become useless. Mm-hmm. And so let me just ask you, what's an appliance in your home that serves a purpose, but you don't really think much about it?
Yeah, I mean, all of I got a broken faucet right now.
Right.
I didn't never think much about until it broke.
Yeah. So that faucet was just a faucet serving its purpose, but now it's pretty conspicuous, right? And so it kind of makes me think about Jesus. Jesus is in some ways like this because he was inconspicuous at first. I mean, think about it. He was a carpenter, which is rarely mentioned. When he heals people, he says, "Tell no one about this." He taught so people would listen, but not understand. And so I just think about that scene today, the triumphal entry when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and not just a donkey, but a foal of a donkey, like the most humble kind of creature to ride in on. And, you know, his initial reception was with fanfare, but really, you know, the triumphal entry is this, it's ironic, and it would soon lead to Jesus becoming even more conspicuous. I think about the questions that people must have asked, like eventually, you know, what kind of king is this? What kind of victory did he come to accomplish? And these are even his followers. I mean, didn't he come to liberate us from Rome? And of course, after this event, very quickly, the response would become disappointment and even contempt. Although I think about the disciples, and maybe for them, it was a mixture of things. Maybe it was disappointment and contempt, but also a sense that something new was breaking in. You know, they didn't understand it, but they may have had that sense that, okay, there's something different about it. But all that to say, this king, this Messiah, would become more and more conspicuous until he reached his ultimate destination on the cross, which would have seemed rather useless at first, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, Patrick, tell us more about the unique kind of king, Jesus. Yeah. Tell us more about his gentleness.
So, yeah, Jesus is king, but Jesus is gentle. You know, this passage tells us what kind of king he is. He's gentle. He's humble. You know, it says in Zechariah, Jesus comes lowly, you know, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so that word lowly, it's sometimes translated gentle. It's sometimes also translated humble, you know, all kind of means the same thing. You know, kings in those days were not like, William and Harry, you know, Prince William and Prince Harry. They were actually, for the most part, they were warriors. They were conquerors in battle. David, you know, like we talk about David, like this, you know, oh, he was this little shepherd boy. Yeah, well, the little shepherd boy grew up and he became a really, you know, you would just say he became a violent man. Like he was a warrior. He led troops into battle many, many times. He personally killed many, many people. You know, so kings in those days were warriors, conquerors. And to be sure, they did not ride donkeys into battle. You can't be a conquering warrior on a donkey. If you ride a donkey into a battle, you aren't going to last very long.
I just keep picturing the donkey like laying down, you know.
if they rode anything into battle, it was a war horse.
Yeah.
You know, they rode horses when it was time for battle. But they rode donkeys, which were much more prevalent in the Middle East than horses were. They rode donkeys when they came in peace. So once the war was over and the peace was established, the king would symbolically ride in on a donkey to say, now I come in peace. So Jesus comes as a great king, but one who comes gently in peace, riding on a donkey. But interestingly, and even somewhat ironically, Jesus also rode into Jerusalem that day to wage war, to fight a battle. Jesus was the messianic conqueror. He was a warrior, but not in the way that they understood. They assumed that meant, you know, he would wage war against the Roman Empire. But Jesus actually came as king to defeat much stronger and more oppressive enemies. Actually, humanity's greatest enemies, sin and death. So King Jesus rides in on a donkey, a symbol of peace and humility. But he's also about to fight a great battle and win a victory, but through his gentle, humble service. Where he gives his life away, not takes the life of others. The battle and the peace are much different and much deeper than the people ever imagined. Paul puts it this way, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that's Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood shed on the cross, through his blood shed on the cross.
It's almost like he's looking forward to that peace when he rides in on the donkey. You know, it's like it hasn't come yet, but this is the ultimate victory.
Right. And he's making sure that this scene perfectly reflects what Zechariah prophesied. Rejoice greatly, Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on the colt, a foal of a donkey. So the king is gentle, he's humble, but he's also waging a battle and winning the victory, not against physical enemies, but against our greatest enemies, sin and death. So on this Palm Sunday, I think it's important to think about this in personal terms. Jesus intends to do exactly what he did 2,000 years ago. He wants to provoke a response. And figuratively, he has ridden into your life and waits for a response. And will you receive him as king? Or will you dismiss him? And if we're honest, you know, there's a lot that we don't like about Jesus as our king. Mm-hmm. You know, as you mentioned, Dean, we love stories of kings and queens so much because deep down we'd really like to be the royalty. And that's kind of the story that the Bible tells about us as human beings.
Yeah, that's right.
That all human beings, we all decided to essentially be our own little kings and queens over our own little kingdoms. But, you know, and so in that sense, we don't want Jesus as king because it means that we have to step down from our own little thrones. It also doesn't help, you know, that our history with kings isn't very good. Even in the Bible, most of them are bad. Most of them are oppressive. You know, so when we think about submitting ourselves to a king, it's like, I don't know about that. But King Jesus is different. This king is lowly and gentle. This is a king who humbly serves us. He fights the battle and wins the peace for us before he ever asks us to do anything for him. And so this is a king that we can trust. This is a king, as Paul says, who loves us and gave himself for us. And only after that does he ask us to love him and to give our lives to him.